You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby Curtis Taylor. And Curtis.
I think I'm Joby. Joby.
There you are. And we've got a special night. We've got Jeffers right here. And then we've got Jim also. Both of these guys. Listen to me. Stuttering.
Did you say old people?
I said both.
Both people. Right.
Both of these people. Both of these guys are probably no strangers to you. I don't know, brewers extraordinaire, palate extraordinaires, entrepreneurs.
Master blenders,
all of
you
those.
You gotta be careful how you say that one.
Master blenders. All of those apply to these
Why
two.
Why are you looking at me like that?
For now, they call Builton, the Barrel Works location, their home right now. And let's give it up for these two right now.
Yeah. We were joking off the air that we were going to go back through their history. And he said, how far back do you want to go? I said, right to childhood. So we're going to start all the way through Jeffers' childhood.
Awesome. How much time do we have? I'll try to hurry through that period. But yeah, I was born a child. Actually, let's fast forward to when I got interested in brewing, which basically I started homebrewing in about 1989 and really got into it. And found out that there was a new program at UC Davis called the Master Brewers Program, and I went through the second class there. They sprinkled holy water on me after that, sent me out into the brewing world. Did a stint in the Bay Area, and at one point I picked up a phone. And I was telling somebody this story one time. I said, yeah, I was on my cell phone. I realized in 1994 I did not have a cell phone. I mean, it would have been like, you know, something like this. But a guy named David Walker with a British accent called and said he'd found my name from a list at UC Davis, and we got this weird idea. Are you interested? And I said, yeah, sure, let's talk. So we did. We had several conversations. We finally, got me on board, moved me down to Santa Barbara. I was living in the Bay Area at the time, and pretty much it was a blank palette. They put me in an office at the Firestone Winery, where I looked out on barrels. I smelled barrels. I was surrounded by barrels, and started thinking about that and kind of came up with this idea to create something that was very that was influenced by the Burton Union in Britain. And so that sort of started our love and appreciation for barrels. We created a system that had a lot of history. It was something we thought we could work with, that while risky, we could manage. And then we created a beer around that, which was DBA. And, you know, I can fast forward there. I mean, the rest is sort of history. Actually, probably the best thing that ever happened is when they purchased the Slow Brewing, because at that time we were looking for a building. We actually built the building where the Barrel Works is now, but we ran out of money. So by purchasing that, we had a building. We purchased a brewing equipment, and it turns out we purchased a couple of brewers, including this guy. So they're still working off the debt there. I think you got like 5 years on your indentureship.
Yeah, I do.
We still chain him up at night. So I actually wandered off at some point, moved on to Sierra Nevada for 7 years. Dabbled in olive oil for a little bit, which is a whole other story. And got asked to come back and work with Jim on this really exciting project, and I couldn't say no. So it's, for the last almost 2 years now, they let the lunatics run the asylum, and we're having a lot of fun with it. So that's it in a nutshell.
Jim, what about you? Where do you come in? Where do you fit in?
I got a great break when I was pretty young to go to Cal Poly and get a degree in food science. My passion at that point was cooking. My parents were really into catching their own fish and processing, and got me really interested in the idea of processing from beginning to the end, and the whole idea of like the metamorphosis of a product. And so out of high school, I was like, I'm going to go to a trade school, be a chef. And my dad, being wise enough, he's like, no, you need a 4-year degree before you do that. We're not going to fund anything crazy. So off to Cal Poly, got into the food science program there, and that's where, the first year away from high school up in Central Coast, I fell in love with the beers that were up there. Sierra Nevada, Anchor Steam, Mendocino, Blackhawk Stout were like the three beers that just changed my life. So I immediately was like, hey, we got to start making these, make beer, and was able to, you know, buy raw ingredients at that age and make beer. There's no law against that, really, and no one's saying you couldn't do that. So I started fooling around and coinciding that with some of the micro classes and really started focusing on fermentation and preservation of food in college, and got through school, decided I was going to get really serious about chefing, did that for about 2 years and kind of burned out, and was living in Santa Cruz at the point, and packed up my truck and drove down to San Luis Obispo, called up one of my professors, his name's Brian Hamson, professor of microbiology, happened to be his birthday, so we went out to Slow Brew downtown, and by the graces of God, the owner of the place who owned Downtown Brew and the production facility in Paso at that point, which this is in 99, walked to our table and asked if my professor knew any microbiologists around, because he had a big problem up in his brewery in Paso. And my professor looks over and he's like, that's your guy. And so I showed up on Monday to the brewery with, you know, the premise of like an interview and bring a resume. And I walked around, the place was desolate, there was nothing going on. And I walked into the owner's office, Mike Hoffman's office, and he's like, hey, what do you think? I said, I guess, what's going on here? And he's like, well, what do you think? You think you can work here? All right, yeah. We got the job. It was that easy. And so the place didn't have a lab or anything, so we set up a lab and started looking in the micro side of things, and the place was infected from the front end to the back end. And so I got, a crash course training in brewing, you know, microbiology from, my own, willpower. It was just basically trial by fire. So that started in about May of 1999. By roughly the 6 months later, the place was completely clean, had networked and done as much as I could with the powers being. And they hired Matt Brindleson to come along with that about 6 months later. And the place was basically making award-winning beer within the next year. Fast forward to 2001, I got a call on one Saturday in May. It didn't have a job after that, just they closed the doors. The owner decided he wanted to go make coffee in Colorado or something like that. I couldn't. So Matt and I kind of got our heads together around it. We knew the place was loaded with beer. We knew that there was raw materials to be had. The bank didn't lock the doors of the place. And so he called me up. He's like, let's go and make some beer. And so he and I spearheaded this kind of covert action to just keep the place running while we had materials and we had yeast and we had beer in tanks. So he and I would brew. We did a packaging. We sent some trucks out, kept the shelf space in the distribution happening. And sure enough, 2 months later, Adam and David walk in the front door. I think Matt had talked to him and brought him in to take a look at the place. I was there working. It was just two of us. And again, I think it was Adam walked in the front door and he said, do you want to work here? And I said, yeah, I'll take it. So basically that was the history of how Firestone took over the Slow Brewing Company. And then as it grew, we were able to surround ourselves with really competent brewers and a competent team of packaging people, and the whole metamorphosis just growing, growing, growing until about 2007 when I was running the lab and I had my hands on a lot of micro that was happening in the brewery, but also my friends at Russian River and New Belgium Brewing Company were kind of starting this influence of sour beer and really kind of spearheading that idea. And I was able to connect with them. They sent me some cultures. I was able to go visit them. And they really brought me in. They loved Firestone. They loved the idea of us doing something. So they were actually helped us and gave us cultures, let us kind of fool around. And behind the scenes, this whole thing started, like Jeffers said. And it just kind of started growing and gaining momentum. It was really secretive at the beginning. We were doing it under tarps in the back warehouses. No one knew about it. The beers were coming out. We were, you know, taking kegs, bringing them by ourselves to bars, putting them on. No compliance, no, you know, completely illegal what we were doing.
And you get the idea that he has some experience at doing covert stuff.
Covert stuff, yeah. Yeah, and then by the graces of the brewing gods of Gambrinus, 2012 came along. We had a fair amount of beer, about 28 wine barrels worth of it. And David Walker came back from, he was inspired by Rodenbach, what was going on there. And light popped, and he came up to me and said, I really want to do this. Let's do something magical. Let's do it in Buellton. Let's keep it away. And I was for that because I was the quality control manager. I didn't want any of this stuff happening in the brewery. You know, I basically was just, you know, creating a shitstorm for myself in the back of the brewery. And it definitely has impact. I mean, the stuff that we're doing in Barrel Works will ruin breweries, will ruin clean breweries, like straight out, done, close your doors, you're quit.
We're the anti-brewery.
We are the anti-brewery. And so David knew that, and by 2013, we had moved, I think, from 28 barrels to about 450 wine barrels that were produced that year. And from that point on, it was just Jefferson and I brainstorming on how this project looks and how it's going to grow. And we're in the point right now of our basically second year, and it's very it's a very organic idea. It's been a beautiful metamorphosis from just an idea to what we have now. And we're so lucky to be part of this whole amazing operation and this revolution that's happening, the sour party. So thanks.
So does all your beer still get made in Paso? All your clean beer, or do you guys?
It's wort.
It's wort. You bring wort down, and then you're.
They produce wort.
It did start in Paso.
No beer.
It started off with fermentation in Paso, with us using small vessels, racking finished beer into barrels from Paso, like double barrels. You're drinking double barrel right now, but you might not know it. It's called a Grestic ale now. After we fermented it with. Bread and lactobacillus, but that started off as double barrel. That was one of the wort streams we used at the beginning. And as things grew, we were just trying to use whatever we can get out of Paso. So we were using the Hefeweizen. We were using Solus, the summer beer. We're using double barrel.
Yeah.
We've used Merlin. We've used the Saison, the Opal also.
And we've created a few recipes.
And 805, believe it or not, makes amazing beer. So that's a huge part of our program right now.
One of the things he talked about, sort of how things happened organically, is what he's talking about is true. Is we used to have the beer pretty much inoculated up there with our house yeast and then shipped down. But one of the issues and challenges we had last year was there wasn't any residence in the fermenters. So we weren't getting the beer we wanted. So we kind of thought about how we could get around that, and what we did is it wasn't a turn on the brew house that was a problem, it was space in the fermenter. So, you know, bring it down, and actually Jim and I went out to a boneyard. Adam Firestone, I think, never gets rid of anything, and there's equipment back there from when we started in 96 that was getting me all misty-eyed. But and two of the things that were from that era were two tanks that we were able to haul in, and we could start tankering down wort and doing our own fermentations, and that really allowed us to expand our production.
No, I was just going to say, maybe they could take us through the flight since we've got the history.
It seems like a good spot. So, you know, some of you are...
You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.